Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, make us have perpetual love and reverence for your holy name, for you never fail to help and govern those whom you have set upon the sure foundation of your loving kindness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Job. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determines its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed bounds for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come, and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stopped. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is gracious. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is gracious. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In 1813, a man by the name of Morris Brown decided to start a church for slaves in Charleston, South Carolina. He was joined by Denmark Vesey. Denmark got his name from the man who had sold him into slavery. Denmark was a master carpenter, and by using his skill, he was able to raise $1,500, which back then was an enormous amount of money, and he bought his own freedom from his slave owner. But his slave owner refused to sell him the freedom of his own wife and children. So Denmark Vesey started to preach at this little church where slaves would gather on Sunday mornings to worship God. And he preached about the story of the Exodus, and he preached about how God called a people out of slavery and into freedom. And the church grew, and it grew, and it grew until it had over 3,000 members. And we don't exactly know what happened next. I don't think we ever will know if Denmark Vesey actually started meeting with other slaves to plan an escape or to fight for their freedom, or whether he was just preaching about the Exodus. But we do know that Denmark Vesey was arrested along with dozens of the members of his church, and that they were tortured. And under torture, some of them admitting to plotting for their freedom. And we do know that they were all hanged. To this day, there are rumors that Denmark Vesey was actually stabbed to death, but no one ever could find his body. And as punishment, all of the black churches in Charleston were shut down for over 30 years. They were not allowed to open their doors for worship. After the Civil War, Denmark Vesey's son, Robert Vesey, returned to Charleston and opened the church again, this time calling it an African Methodist Episcopal Church. And he chose the name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And that church became a central pulpit in the civil rights movement. Booker T. Washington preached there. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. preached there. And then on this past Wednesday, as you all know, a 21-year-old young man named Dylan Roof walked into a prayer meeting. And for all that we can tell, it seems that they welcomed him warmly. And they prayed with him for almost an hour before he took out a gun and killed 9 people. In today's gospel, there is a storm. It's the middle of the night, and the disciples are on a boat with Jesus. And this storm comes, and when it's dark out, you never know where the storm is coming from. But this storm was big, and it picked up wind, and the wind made the waves huge, and the boat started to rock, and water came into the boat, and the disciples got scared. And I can just picture them scurrying all over the boat, yelling at each other, trying to get the water out of the boat, and Jesus is fast asleep. I never have understood how Jesus could be fast asleep in the middle of that storm. Was he so exhausted that he just couldn't wake up? Did he trust God so much that whatever happened to him was fine and he could totally relax in the middle of a storm? There are so many storms that come up in our world. Storms of incredible violence and racism and terrorism. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I feel like God is just asleep. I want to say, God, why don't you wake up and do something? How could you let 9 innocent people die in the church, in a prayer meeting? I don't understand. And for those disciples in the storm, at least Jesus was with them. He was physically there. They could shake him awake. They could say, hey, wake up. And they actually say to him, don't you even care that we're dying here? So Jesus wakes up. And like he always does, whenever someone is sick, he heals them when they cross his path. When someone who is possessed crosses his path, he releases them of their demons. And Jesus, when confronted with the storm, he stands up in the boat and he says, peace, be still. And everything is calm, and the storm goes away. And I wish he would do that now for us in our crazy and violent world. I wish he would just say, peace. Peace. But then, even more importantly, Jesus turns around and he looks at the disciples and he asks them a question. He asks them, why are you afraid? Have you no faith? Why are you afraid? Have you no faith? Because that's the way it is for us, isn't it? When all of this craziness happens in our century has been worse than any others. More Christians have been killed in this century than in any other. There is so much hatred rampant all over this planet. And we ask God, why? Why won't you just fix it? We're like Job in the reading for today. Job is a man who has seen incredible tragedy. His family, dead, all of them. Everything that he owns is taken from him. He is sitting in the dust with nothing but some friends who are giving him unsolicited advice. And he asks the same question. He says to God, why? Why is this happening to me? Why don't you fix it? And God responds with the exact same question that Jesus asks the disciples. Why don't you trust me? I am the one who made this earth. Were you there at the beginning? I'm sorry, are you God? Where is your faith? What is faith? I think faith is more than just believing that there is a God. Faith also means that we have to come to acknowledge that there are questions that we cannot answer as human beings in this life. There are questions that we will never be able to answer in this world. There are things that we simply cannot understand. But faith is also believing that somehow God will not let evil and violence and hatred be the last word. That somehow, without understanding, we are asked to follow Christ through the violence, through the pain, through the suffering, through the cross to new life. That even though you and I don't understand why, we are still asked to work for the kingdom. And God is asking each one of us today to make sure that our brothers and sisters who died in Charleston did not die in vain. To work, to bridge the gap between races and peoples. To work to bring this divided country together so that we can speak to one another again. To work for peace, even in the midst of the storm. My yoga teacher, on Thursday morning, she decided to just get substitutes and drive with her husband from Jacksonville to Charleston. She said that people were driving into that city from all over the country. Some had driven all night. There were flowers all around Emmanuel AME Church. They parked the car and started walking around the city, and people just started thanking them for coming. Prayers were being said all over the city. And the families of the victims were beginning to speak about things like forgiveness. At 10 o'clock this morning, I don't know if you heard our bells tolling here at the cathedral, but churches were ringing their bells all over this nation. To stand in solidarity with those who have died. It's up to us to make sure that men like Denmark Vesey did not die in vain, to continue to strive for peace and for freedom in this great and wonderful country. And so what can we do? We have to begin by praying. And inside your bulletin, I've made a list of those who've died, and I'd like you to join me. Let us together say their names aloud in prayer. Almighty God, we ask you to help us in the midst of the storms of this life to trust that you will guide us, that you will help us to bring about justice and freedom and peace on this earth. And we pray especially for our brothers and sisters in Christ who died in Charleston, and let us read their names together. Reverend Clementa Pinckney, Tywanza Sanders, Cynthia Hurd, Reverend Sharonda Coleman Singleton, Myra Thompson, Ethel Lance, Reverend Daniel Simmons, Reverend DePayne Middleton Doctor, and Susie Jackson. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, you created the heavens and the earth. Thank you for the gift of our lives, for our loved ones, for this community, and for this beautiful earth that we call home. We thank you for all of our blessings. I invite you to speak aloud your thanksgivings. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the earth, that we may come to respect and honor one another. We especially pray for the people of the Middle East and Ukraine. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray together for the Middle East using a prayer written by our own parishioners. Almighty God, lover and provider of the peace of the world cannot give, you know our hearts, the hurt we harbor, and the sin of complacency. We ask you to grant everyone who lives in the Middle East the peace of God which passes all understanding and the freedom to live in love and harmony so everyone can seek your face and work for your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns in peace, the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray for the cities of this nation, that hatred and urban violence may cease. We pray especially for Baltimore, Ferguson, and our own city of Jacksonville. Lord, in your mercy, embrace the souls of those who have died. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died. Lord, in your mercy, we ask you, Almighty God, to forgive all the mistakes that we've made, the things that we have done and the things that we have neglected to do. Help us to become the people that you call us to be. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Almighty God, there are many things that we do not understand and questions for which we have no answer. But we do know what you call us to do. Help us to be your people here on earth, O Lord, and to serve you with all our heart. This we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit keep you in eternal life. My beloved brothers and sisters, may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Good morning, my friends. Good morning. So glad you're here with us today. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a present, but you have to keep your hands up until they find you, okay? But we won't make you speak or do anything embarrassing. But hold your hand up so they can find you, and don't be shy because we're glad you're here. Welcome to everyone. Welcome. Dads, if you're a dad, would you stand up so we can say Happy Father's Day to you? Happy Father's Day, Dad. Dads, you're very important, and we're very grateful for you. We also have something else we're going to celebrate with a big cake after church. Helen, would you stand, honey? Helen Brown is 93, and after 90, we have to celebrate. We're so proud of you, honey. You're a great role model. Breakfast is at 9 o'clock every Sunday. Don't forget, we're doing some fun stuff called Messy Church, where you have interactive crafts and everything. We do need volunteers still for two different Sundays, so talk to Sue in the back if you want to help us cook breakfast. It's really not that bad. The vestry did it today. Thank you, vestry. That was awesome. We do have Wednesday evening classes, a lot of interesting stuff, so check out your bulletin. And don't forget, you should have received a letter about our new shepherding program. Every single one of you who's a member of this church has a shepherd. So remember to keep your shepherd in mind, and if you need anything, to call them, okay? There's a list of them that is provided in your bulletin, so you can figure out who your shepherd is. Also, Vacation Bible School is July 20th through the 24th. For children from pre-K to fourth grade, you can register online or by calling the church. You can print out the form from our website or pick up a form at the back of the church and return it to the office. This should be a lot of fun. It's about King David, so I hope you all will join us for that. Early on Tuesday morning, I leave for what is called General Convention, which is the national gathering of the Episcopal Church in the United States of America. It is 10 days of nonstop legislation from 7 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. It's at times extremely boring. Don't tell them I said that. But there are also some very controversial issues which will be covered at General Convention. And the bishop has asked me to read you a letter from him, because at General Convention, the media often descends, and they are going to print whatever they're going to print. So he wants you to hear from him what is going on in the church. So I'm going to read you this letter, and you can let me know what you think after church. I want to talk to all of you. If you like it, if you hate it, I want to talk to you. And there are copies in the back of the church for you to take home if you want to take one with you. So this is from your bishop. Brothers and sisters in Christ, beginning June 25th, the General Convention of the Episcopal Church will meet in Salt Lake City, Utah, in Mormon land. So, General Convention is a time set aside for discernment of the will of God for the future of our church. It is a time of prayer, worship, and discussion. It is also a time in which bishops of the church, together with elected clergy and lay deputies, consider a number of resolutions regarding the life of our church and affairs of the world and the church's relationship to it. This year, General Convention will consider proposals to change the structure of our church, new resources for worship, our budget for the next 3 years, and a renewed commitment to mission and ministry at home and abroad. The bishops will, with the consent of the House of Deputies, elect our next presiding bishop, who will serve a term of 9 years. Some of our work this summer will surely get attention outside our church, in the press, and on the internet. Often these stories are told from a perspective that lacks attention to the great deal of reflection and prayer that go into making difficult decisions. Rarely does careful and prayerful consideration make good headlines or sound bites. So first, friends, I ask you to pray. Please pray for me, Bishop Kaiser, who's with us here this morning. Thank you, Bishop. Bishop Henderson, and for the clergy and lay deputies from our diocese. Second, I ask you to start with the assumption that those who seek to lead our church do so with a desire to be faithful to God and neighbor. Only from this place of prayer, love, and generosity can faithful people hope to discover God's will.
In addition to resolutions that may change the shape of our church as an organization, General Convention will also consider resolutions that would change the definition of marriage. Since 2012, trial liturgies have been published for the blessing of same-sex relationships. General Convention 2015 is considering resolutions that would publish new liturgies for the blessing of same-sex marriage. There are many considerations around this potential redefinition of marriage, including the interpretation of Scripture, the tradition of the church, and the gift of human reason. Part of these considerations concern issues of grace, justice, the definition of sacrament, human sexuality, covenant, canon law, and the historic language of our Book of Common Prayer. The clergy of our diocese began a faithful and grace-filled conversation on these matters in May, and the conversation will continue as we learn of the decisions of our General Convention. You can find details on these resolutions at generalconvention.org. Christians in every era have been asked to contend with controversial issues. Life in obedience to the gospel has always been both demanding and grace-filled. The times in which you and I live are no exception. As your bishop, I want to be clear about where we are as a diocese as General Convention approaches. The policy of our diocese concerning the 2012 trial use liturgies for the blessing of same-sex couples remains the same. This liturgy is not approved for use in the Diocese of Florida. Our expectations regarding marriage and sexual relationships are in accord with those expressed in our Book of Common Prayer. I close with an expression of pastoral direction and care. First, to those among us who believe the church is moving too fast or moving in the wrong direction, I want to assure you of my love and concern for you. I share many of your concerns. I ask you to approach all of the issues we have discussed with humility, and I ask that you join me in prayer that the Holy Spirit might empower us to bravely preach the gospel in our day. To those who believe that the church is moving too slowly or refusing to move in the right direction, I want to assure you of my love and pastoral concern. This is especially applicable to our committed and faithful members who are gay and lesbian. I love you, and I remain insistent, as I have since becoming your bishop over 10 years ago, that you be loved and cared for as a part of the body of the faithful. Part of being human is the possibility that we love our ways more than God's ways. A lack of humility often makes us deaf to the will of God. Whoever you are, whatever your opinions may be on these important subjects, I ask you to remember the love of God as shown in his son's sacrifice on the cross. I ask you, too, that you remember the love of God and make it the focus of your prayers for your church, your deputies, and your bishops, as we are in General Convention. Please pray these prayers with me each day from now until the conclusion of our convention. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church. Fill it with all truth, in all truth, with all peace. Where it is corrupt, purify it. Where it is in error, direct it. Where in anything it is amiss, reform it. Where it is right, strengthen it. Where it is in want, provide for it. Where it is divided, reunite it for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen. My prayer for all of us in this special diocese, which we love so much, is that you would know the peace of God, which passes all understanding, and that knowing his peace, you would know too the power of his presence in our midst. Faithfully, John Howard. Walk in love as Christ loved us, and he gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
to remind you that during the distribution of communion, we are going to sing an African-American spiritual, and it is in your green hymnals, celebration hymnals in your pews, hymn number 750. So will you sing with me? Yes? Okay, good.
And this Holy Eucharist is offered to the glory of God and for the repose of the souls of our nine brothers and sisters at Charleston's Emmanuel AME. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. From the primal elements you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation. But we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again you called us to return. Through prophets and sages you revealed your righteous law. And in the fullness of time you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption, and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only, and not for strength, for pardon only, and not for renewal. Let the grace of this holy communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Be known to us. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, your Church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
let us go forth in the name of Christ.